Maybe. Perek Lamed Aleph. Pasik.
Lamed Aleph.
Chav Dalet. Page 164. The story up to now, Yaakov Avinu is running away from Lavan. There's a 6-day difference, basically. Lavan takes his brother, takes his people, and at the 7th day he caught up to Yaakov Avinu, which traveled 7 days. And Lavan's intent was, obviously, as we see from the Psukim coming up, that Lavan really wanted to make a lot of trouble. So the Pasuk says, Vayavi Alekim Lavan Ho'arami, Hashem came to Lavan or the Arami. And here again, the Pasuk is emphasizing that he is the swindler. In Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, it says, Hashem himself did not come to Lavan. He sent his angel, Michal, to go speak to Lavan, to go speak to him. So it's basically the Malach Michal. In fact, the Medrash says that Michal is holding a sword over Lavan to scare him, so to speak. And we'll see later, when we get into the things, the various different opinions, if it was actually prophecy or not. The Rambam Memeir in Nevuchim says, the fact that it says here that Hashem came to him in a dream at night, B'chaleim alaylan, the dream of the night, that itself shows it was not a level of prophecy. Other Mefarshim learn that it was a prophetic dream. It was a form of a prophecy, but we find, as the Mefarshim say, this was only in the Schus of Yaakov. We find earlier in Chumash, when Avimelech took Sarah away from Avram, it says over there also that Hashem came to Avimelech at night and said, why are you taking this woman? She's a married woman of this great person. So over there they also say, it wasn't that Avimelech necessarily was worthy of prophecy, but they wrote, in the merit of Avram, you know, that he should give back his wife, so Hashem appeared also to Avimelech. And some of Farshim learn that the same thing is here with Lavan. Some people learn it was Mamish prophecy. Lavan was a prophet, a non-Jewish prophet, and he had prophecy. And other people say it wasn't in Lavan's merit, it was in Yaakov's merit, that he should save Yaakov. What did he say to him? Vayayim alay, and either Hashem or the Malach said to him, Yisham alacha, you should be very careful, beware. Pentadabit im Yaakov, lest you will speak with Yaakov, mitayv adra, from good to bad. So, the question, what do you mean not to speak to him from good or bad? So, Rashi says, the way Rashi learns, you shouldn't even speak to him good or bad. Why? Because if a Rasha considers good, a Tzaddik considers bad. So this is the way Rashi explains. Mitayv adra, you shouldn't speak to him from good or bad. Just don't speak to him. Even though Lavan did speak to him. But this is what Hashem is telling him, don't speak. And the Kli Yakir explains, what does it mean? What does it mean, the expression, Mitayv Hadra? He says that Tzaddikim know the way wicked people hate them. And if you hate somebody, even the good you speak is also not so good. That's the way Kli Yakir explains this concept. So therefore, what you might think is good, he says, is like, for instance, the Kli Yakir says, you're going to entice him to come back to with you to Charan. And you're going to think it's good. For Yaakov Avinu, it's very bad that he's coming back to Charan. So he says, Hashem says to him, do me a favor, just don't talk to the guy, don't speak to him, have nothing to do with him. But Yasig Lavan, the Ramban, just to add over here, the Ramban adds, and he learns, don't speak to him good or bad. What does it mean? Don't speak to him that you'll take him back to Haran and you'll treat him nicely. One thing. Or don't you dare hurt him. Don't you dare harm him in any way whatsoever. So, Pasuk says, Vayasig Lavan is Yaakov. Lavan reached finally got reached up to close to Yaakov, because before that they camped. One was on the up on top, one's at the bottom, but now finally Mamish Lovin came close to Yaakov. The Yaakov Toka as Ali Bahar. Yaakov pitched his tents on the mountain. The Lovin Toka Sechov Bahara Gilad. And Lavan pitched his tent, or it doesn't even say his tent, it says he planted his brothers. And the Sama Farshim learned that by Lavan it doesn't say a tent. Yaakov had tents, because he was in any way anticipating a long journey home. Lavan is now running just to chase Yaakov. Lavan wasn't thinking about sleeping quarters. So he put his people on Hara Gilad. So now, Vayemel Lavan LeYaakov, Lavan said to Yaakov, Ma'asisa, what did you do? Vatigne Veslavavi, you stole my heart. He says, you stole my heart. What do you mean? That, look at him, Lavan says to him, look how you deceived me by leaving without permission. Chutzpah, you stole my heart, you deceived me. Why? Because he left without permission. Whatever Lavan did for 21 years, that was kosher. But now that Yaakov left without permission, he said, you stole my heart. But tonight, as Benaisa, you led my daughters, kishvuyas chadav, like prisoners of war. In other words, like the Al-Sheikh said, you didn't even let my own daughter say goodbye to me. You just took him in the middle of the night, you took him away. What type of chutzpah is this? You know, you tricked me. Lama nachbeisa levreyach. He said, why did you run away so quickly? Vatignevesi, you stole me. Meaning, you stole my mind. You didn't tell me. Vleigadetali, you didn't tell me. Because if you would have told me, Vashleichacha would have sent you off, besimcha, with joy, beshidim, with songs, beseif, with a timbrel, with a chino, with a harp. Lovensau would have given you a royal farewell. Such a wonderful guy. Such a nice guy. But you know, it's always funny. He says it afterwards. Yeah. I just wanted to call you. Yeah, I just wanted to call you. I was just calling you. You owe the guy money. The guy calls you. Oh, I was just about to call you this second. Yeah. It's funny that they never called before. But you see, I mean, obviously, you know, the Malbim learns, like Lavan is saying to Yaakov, all you have to do is ask me, of course I would have let you go. Right? I would have let you go. What's the question? What's the problem over here? V'leinit tashtani, you didn't even allow me, you didn't give me the ability, l'nashik l'banev l'vneisai, to kiss my sons and daughters. Now obviously, what sons did he have? Rachel and Leah were, huh? Grandsons. Oh, so Rashi says, grandsons are Rashi doesn't say anything.
Like sons.
No, Rashi doesn't say. The Radak says that what does it mean, sons? Obviously, there are no sons. There's only Rachel and Leah. And grandsons are also called children. We find that Bechlal many places. By Yisrei, we find it. We find in many places in Chumash that the grandsons are called sons. So therefore, you have to demand love in my son, my grandsons, everything. Ata hiskalta asay, and he said to him, now you acted very foolish. He says, you acted very foolish. He said, Lovin, the Radak says that Lovin said to him, like this, you were always the smart one. Now you acted very stupid, very foolish. Yash Lekel Yadi, and here Lekel does not mean God, it means the power. The word Kel, that we say for God, Aleph Lamed, is really comes to the word Ayele Ha'aretz Lokach, the strong people. Kel, Aleph Lamed, is really might and power. So therefore, what Yilovin is saying, I had the power, Lasi Simachem Ra, to do bad to you. You should know that I had the ability to hurt you very bad. And as the obvious, even though Yaakov Avinu had a lot of servants and a lot of people, but obviously Lavan was stronger. Because not what do you mean Lavan said I could have done it? What could he do? If he's a few people, how can he start up with Yaakov's people? So obviously Lavan came with a lot of strong people, with ammunition, with things that to be able to win him over. But Elokei Avichem, the God of your father, and I respect him, he says, Amish next last night, Amali Lamer said to me, Yisham Elokha, I'm warning you, Medabirim Yaakov, from speaking to Yaakov, Mitev Adra from Gurubed. He said, Lavan says to Yaakov, I want you to know, really, I could have done something terrible to you. But what can I do? You know, your God says no. So what happens? Vayan va'ato now, halecha lachto, he says, you have left, ki nechsef nechsafta lebeis avicha. I understand, you left because you want to go home to your father. You know, you had a longing for your father's house. But lama ganafta salakoi, why did you steal my gods? Lavan realized, and it's remarkable how I already figured out, because if Lavan wasn't home, and Rachel stole the idols, and Lavan chased Yaakov straight away, he already found out that somebody stole the gods. He didn't know who, but he knew that they were stolen. So he said to him, okay, and what? That's what I'm saying. Obviously, how he knew, I don't know. Either somebody told him. That's what I'm saying. So either somebody told him, one of the servants told him, or if these were the idols that Lavan used to do black magic with, he probably stopped along the way to get him to be able to do magic against Yaakov, and he didn't find them.
But he can tell him who checked that the idols are not there.
He knew where he put them.
No, but if you tell that somebody told him, who checked it? Who uses the idols? Only Lavan uses the idols.
Maybe other people use them too. I don't know. Obviously, he knew. That's a given. He knew because he said to him, why did you steal my gods? How he knew, whichever practical way it could have been that he told him, that he found out. Either somebody told him, or he stopped at home, or there was a video camera, or something. He is able to see what the, you know.
It's not so hard to figure it out. They ran away. Someone took over and they were there all the time.
Right.
Now that Yaakov is gone, his daughter is gone, his daughter is gone, and it makes sense that he took
him. Right. Now, the Mefarshim says over here a number of things. One Mefarish, one commentary says that what Lavan says to Yaakov, because what's the connection between these two halves of the Pasuk? He starts with the first half of the Pasuk, he said, I understand you longed for your father's house, but why did you steal my gods? What does one thing have to do with the next? In the same Pasuk shows, obviously, they're connected. So some Mefarshim learn, he says, if you're going home, you want to tell me what you need idols there for? In your father's home, in Yitzchok's home, you need idols. So he said, Nichsev, Nichsev, Telebeis Avicha, you're going home. So why did you steal my gods? What do you need them for there? I understand if you're not going home, maybe you need them. But he says, if you're going home, your father's not going to let it in the house anyway. So what are you taking them home? What do you steal them for? It's one interpretation. It says also, the Medrash says that when the Shvatim, the grandchildren, Yaakov's children, heard that Lavan accused them of stealing the gods, they said to them, in your age, there's an old man in, you're calling them gods? I mean, you don't have enough brains already to understand. We lived in your house for 21 years. It had no impact on you about the gods. It's similar. Mefarshim point this out, the more contemporary Mefarshim, obviously. Throughout history, the Goyim always complained against the Jews. You took my idols, you took my gods, you took my this, you took Christian kids and slaughtered them for the blood, for the matzah. I mean, they always complained in a similar way of what Lavan's saying to Yaakov. Lavan is saying to Yaakov, as if Yaakov had nothing else to do but take Lavan's gods. What's he going to do with them? We'll learn later in Vayishlach that there are many servants that had idols, and Yaakov made them all bury their idols in the ground before they came into Eretz Yisrael. So, but basically, so what's Lavan accusing Yaakov of stealing gods? Lama ganafta why did you steal my gods? As if Yaakov was the one that took them. He says, well, you know, the children got angry. Yaakov answered and said to Lavan, you know, I'm answering, and Rashi says, it's an interesting thing, in Pirkei Avos it says that you answer first question first and second question second. That's a chacham. Chacham goes in order. And we learned this out from Yaakov. He asked him a few questions, Lavan. Number one, why did you run away? Why didn't you tell me? And why did you steal my gods? I mean, these are the questions, the order of the questions. So Yaakov's answering in the right order. You know why I didn't tell you? Ki areisi, because I was afraid. Ki amarte, I said to myself, ben tigzol es ben isacha, that you're going to see, you're going to say, lest you're going to steal my daughters from me. So Yaakov said very simply, you know why I didn't tell you? Because I told you, you wouldn't have let me. No, ben isacha.
Lavan's daughters,
Yaakov's wife, no? But he said, why can I tell you the same thing? Why should I tell you if you're not going to let me? So I'm not going to tell you. It's interesting, I don't know if everybody should live by this lesson, though. Should you tell somebody something that, you know, should you tell your spouse something that if you ask them, they'll say no? Or should you just do it and hope for the best? But this case is not necessarily similar to father-in-law. Father-in-law, you don't. You're right. Father-in-law, you don't ask. You just do.
But if you know for sure, for what to ask?
Father-in-law, mother-in-law, you just ask. You know, I mean, you don't ask. You're supposed to ask.
But if you know for sure, that they will say no. For what to ask? To ask as if the opposite.
What's better? What's better, not to ask, or just to ask and do the opposite?
Not to ask.
Remember? We spoke about this once. Huh? You remember that? Huh?
10 years ago?
Yeah? Okay. But anyway, she's right. This is a father-in-law, so it doesn't matter. Now, Yaakov continued with the second question. Lavan said to Yaakov, what? Only about father-in-laws. Not about
are
father. Yeah.
Have them expect trouble with you?
Yes. Now Yaakov's answering the second question. The second question is, why did you steal my gods? So Yaakov is answering the following. If you find, or the one that took your gods, lo yichya will not live. So Yaakov basically gave a curse, and Rashi says that's why Rachel died. When tzaddikim say things, there is a, and the Mefarshim explain that this is understood based on the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Meir Katan that God says Bris Krusulus Vasayim. There's a covenant made, there's a covenant cut, so to speak, with the tongue, that the spoken word, even if it's unwilling, like in this case, we'll explain in a second, nevertheless, it might be fulfilled as a prophecy anyway, especially by tzaddikim. It goes even more, not over here, but Yehuda, later on in Chumash, when, you know, they kept Shimon, and then Yosef said, don't come back down without Binyamin, and otherwise don't bother coming back. So Yehuda told Yaakov, eventually, when the hunger got bad, he said, send Binyamin with me, and if I don't bring him back, if I don't bring him back, as he uses the expression, I'll be damned from both worlds. From this world and the world to come. So Yehuda said that verbally with his mouth. So the Gemara says that even though Yehuda brought Binyamin back, okay, they went back, they got caught, but Yehuda came back with Binyamin. So L'chaira, the condition was met, so his curse shouldn't be a curse. Nevertheless, the fact that Yehuda, the tzaddik he was, said that if I don't bring them back, I'm going to be punished in this world and the next. The Gemara says, for 40 years in the desert, Yehuda's bones were shaking. Why? Because he said something, he cursed himself, even though the condition was met, so the curse shouldn't be effective. Nevertheless, the tongue has a covenant that things are fulfilled. We can understand it based on what we explained not long ago. And that is, like when the Gemara says, Lashon Hara kills three people, because language, mouth, saying things, brings it down into a tangible world. When you say something, it comes into the atmosphere. And once it's in the atmosphere, it has its effect regardless. Regardless. Like we said many times in the story, the Baal Shem Tov, the guy said, I'll rip you apart like a fish, and the Baal Shem Tov showed them the vision that they were ripping somebody apart like a fish. So people have to be very careful. Obviously, Yaakov Avinu, it's more because he was a great tzaddik. But the truth is, the Gemara says that every person has to be very careful with what they say, because the Gemara says there is a covenant made with the lips that the spoken word, even if it's said unintentionally, might end up becoming a prophecy. If Yaakov knew that Rachel stole them, he would have never said what he said. The fact that he didn't know, so it was unintentional. The fact that he said it, it has its effect. And even though Rachel took him for a good purpose, we learned before she took him that that Lavan shouldn't be worshipping idols. Nevertheless, what Yaakov said had this great impact. And Rachel died on the journey because of it. There's a lot of reasons why she died. Rashi, we learned before, because she let Leah, that's why she didn't merit to be buried with him. The reason she died later on, Rashi says in Vayechi, that Yaakov told Yosef, don't be angry at me, I buried your mother there for a specific purpose, that when the Jews will need problems, will have problems, so she had to die there anyway. And then there's another reason she died, because if Yaakov kept the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, he was married to two sisters. And so Rachel got married second, she had to be the first to go. There's a lot of things that indirectly caused it to happen. But the fact was that Yaakov Avinu cursed, and he said that the one that stole your gods, Lo Yichya, is not going to live. And that's ultimately, like Rashi says, that actually caused her to die. Rashi says the Loshin, from that curse, Rachel died in the way. What? That's what I'm saying. And nevertheless, even though she meant well, and Yaakov Avinu didn't mean what he said, it was unintentional for sure. You know, Yaakov Avinu may have thought, maybe one of the servants that was worshipping idols, maybe they took it. It never entered Yaakov's mind that Rachel should take them. Huh? Because he would have made her give him back. Right. So she didn't want to tell him. No, this is a husband and wife. The wife, she felt that if she would tell her husband, he would make her give it back. No. No, still not necessarily. Depends what?
Why'd she take?
Huh?
Why'd she take?
She took him that love and her father shouldn't be worshipping idols anymore. But she didn't feel so. She felt it was right.
That's why she didn't.
He wasn't home that day. She couldn't call him on the phone. He was in a meeting.
She didn't know that if she took a lady, he can buy another one. Fatai Mados.
I don't know. Now, by the way, the Mefarshim say it even more. The condition over here still wasn't met. What did Yaakov say? By the way, Yaakov didn't say whoever stole the gods are going to die. by whom you find them will die. Lavan never found them. So Bechlal, the curse shouldn't have happened. What did Yaakov say? Look in the pasuk. The one with whom you find the gods. It doesn't say the one that stole them. The one with whom you find the gods, they will die. They will not live. Lavan never found them. We'll soon see in a few psukim. He looked and he looked and he never found them. Yaakov got angry at him. He didn't find anything. Because that's what it says. They're by tzaddikim. Even if the condition, like we said by Yehuda, the same thing. Yehuda brought Binyamin back. But when tzaddikim say something, even on a condition, that's it. Now one thing, just for all the ladies that are very nervous about this point. In Sefer Chassidim, listen, though her motives in taking the truffle were noble, since Yaakov was present, she should have inquired of Yaakov. For whenever a wise man is available, his advice should be sought before any action is taken. So the Sefer Chassidim says, Taka, that she should have asked Yaakov for taking, but she didn't.
He was wise, but not every husband is wise.
Right? Every husband is wise. If not, she wouldn't have picked him. Huh? I mean, that's just a very simple question. You made me feel so good now. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when a spouse tells the other spouse they're crazy, you have to answer them. You're even crazier for picking me. No? Everything's relative, though. Don't forget. Not all husbands are Yaakov, but not all wives are Rachel either. What? The what? Okay. Yeah. Okay. In the pasuk lamed beis, imet sheshitim sotzal lekachet, the one that you find the gods with lo yichi will not live. Neged achenu haker locha, he says, in the presence of our friends, prove to yourself. In other words, prove the point. Let me see. You stole. Go find. Go look. Moi mari, I want you to go look and notice. Moi mari, what is with you? V'kachlo can take it back, but the pasuk says v'lo yada Yaakov didn't know ki Rachel ganavasam that Rachel took him. So basically, as the mepharshim say, the alshich and everybody, that Yaakov had no idea that Rachel would have taken them. Why? Number one, why should she? Secondly, it could be also at this point that Yaakov thought Rachel would have never taken him without asking him first. She would have asked him first. So Yaakov never thought in his wildest dreams, so to speak, that Rachel would take them. Yeah, but that's obviously not...